Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning, friends. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, and we are thrilled to have you here with us in the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Good morning, Cam.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
This morning, our friends from Buckeye Catholic, Will Keenley and Blair Andrews, will be with us. Will's a graduate student at The Ohio State University and an OCIA instructor at the St. Thomas More Newman Center. And Blair is a junior at the same Ohio State University, preparing to come into the church at this year's Easter Vigil. Amanda, can you start us with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day. We thank you for your blessings and your graces, for sustaining us, for loving us, and in particular, especially during this Holy Week, for coming and for dying for us, but in particular for rising, that you call us to new life. Lord, we ask for the grace to just fully enter into this Holy Week with you, to be with you, to walk with you, to be grateful, and to learn how to die to ourselves, to be present to what you're calling us to so that we may be resurrected with you. We ask for the guidance and the intercession of our Mama Mary. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amanda.
Yeah.
How's your weekend?
It was good. Dave, you're kind of scaring me. I feel like you have something that you're just going to like, I don't know. It was good.
Spring
it was,
on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I get that feeling this morning. It was a very good weekend. It was, had a lot of fun. Went to Stations of the Cross with some friends. Actually, I hadn't been to a fish fry just yet, so ooh. I had that realization, and I texted some friends, and I said I'd really like to go to a fish fry and then do Stations of the Cross. So I did that, and yeah, it was a good time.
Very. Maybe the reason I'm so jazzed is I just listened to Bishop Fernandez for an hour.
Yeah, that was so good, huh?
That was fantastic.
I mean, and
but he kind of gets
it.
You revved up first thing in the morning. Who needs caffeine?
And there you go. Yeah, there was a lot there. It was so good. The students all had great questions. Bishop, always very insightful. And so if you've missed it, you can catch it again today at
4 p.m.
That's right.
That's right. Cameron?
Hello.
How was your weekend?
It was good. I finished a woodworking project that I've been working on since a little after Christmas, some shelves for my daughter's bedroom. I think it really kind of, with the Feast of St. Joseph last week, just like sparked something in me. I was like, man, I got to get back out in the garage. And so I had to put the last couple coats of stain and polyurethane on the shelves to make them all sealed and nice and ready. And then we moved it up to her room yesterday evening.
Was she surprised?
As much as a baby is surprised at things, like she's just surprised at the world in general. And so new shelves are just part of that.
well done.
Well, Dave, thanks. How about your weekend?
Symphony.
Okay.
On Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
By God's providence, we were directly behind Father Jeff again. Up in the cheap seats.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently we had bought tickets right around the same time as Father Jeff. And so was able to catch up with him. He was coming from the Palm Sunday Vigil Mass. So came directly from Mass to the symphony. Beautiful program. Rachmaninoff.
Very nice.
Yeah. Sibelius. Who is a huge deal in Finland,
oh.
I came to learn. And so the guest violinist was from Finland as well.
Okay.
And there's a young couple next to us who I think were from Finland. They looked Finnish.
Okay.
And he sounded a bit Finnish also.
Mm-hmm.
So they stayed for Sibelius, who, I mean, he really is like a national hero.
Wow.
In Finland. So they stayed for that portion and then bolted. So.
Sounds like a great weekend.
If they were Russian, they probably would have stayed for Rachmaninoff, but they didn't. So I'm not judging. But it was very nice. And here we are, Monday of Holy Week.
Yeah.
It's what we've been preparing for.
It is.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at this morning's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This is from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. You want to read it for us, Cam?
Yeah. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil, made from genuine aromatic nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of the disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amanda, you want to lead off?
Yes. Okay. As I was doing my Lexio this morning, I just had this image of like sitting there at the table with them. And I could just imagine the conversations that are being had, like someone be like, "Hey, Lazarus, like, what was it like to, you know, be dead and mm-hmm. come back to life?"
And pass the lamb.
Right. And I can just imagine Jesus maybe reclining and sitting back and watching this all happen and kind of just chuckling a little bit as they're having their conversation, but then maybe also starting to reflect a little bit on knowing what's to come for himself.
Hmm.
And maybe even sorrow enters during that time because he knows what, not just what he's going to be entering into, and that's going to be so difficult, but because he's going to be separated for some time from his mother and from his disciples, and even though he will rise. And as I continued to do Lexio, just also thinking about the nard, right, that Mary pours forth, and just making me think of, I guess, In that, like, do I live a laid down life like Christ does, and does my life pour forth this aromatic oil, right? Mm. Does it show? Because nard, if I'm not mistaken, it was used as a burial ointment, right? And so my life should really, I guess, pour forth this idea that I have died and yet I also live in Christ. And, you know, through our baptism, really, that's what we're called to, is he's given us the opportunity to be washed of our sins and then to come forth in new life. And that's what really it's all about. And, hopefully in this death and resurrection, you know, I can be united to Christ in that way. So, yeah.
Nice. Cam?
I'm just reminded at how much I am Lazarus in many ways, and called to be Lazarus. The last line of today's gospel really struck me, that the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of Lazarus. His testimony is so loud in the Jewish community that he, like, his story is so in their faces that they're coming to him and saying, what's this all about? And ultimately, you know, turning away from the chief priests and the scribes who held that Jewish authority to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And that should be my story too. That should be my testimony too, should be that loud. Do I, you know, share the gospel that loud in my life? Because I was dead once too, you know, in my sin. And Jesus resurrected me in that way from my sin. And even though it wasn't like a physical death and resurrection, it has probably all the more impact, right? The spiritual life, we've talked before on the cafe, how much that like spiritual reality sometimes feels, should feel a bit more real than this physical, because that's the eternal. And in that eternal perspective, I've died and been raised. And if I've died and been raised, then I should be sharing that testimony and sharing it loudly and boldly, recognizing, you know, Lord, you are my everything, because he is.
Yeah. Actually, Cam, as you were reading the gospel this morning, this was not what originally came to me in my own Alexio, but as you were reading, the word thief really jumped out at me, you know, because Judas is saying, you know, this should have been given to the poor. And he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And Cam, as you're sharing, you know, our lives should be loud, right? Mm-hmm. And living for Christ in that loud way. And really, I'm a thief if I'm not. And that word just kind of struck me, because it's like, yeah, like I don't know, that word really struck me for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. My word is extravagant. And that's it. It's actually used by a number of commentators to talk about Mary's pouring out, you know, as an extravagant gift. And, you know, what extravagance is the Lord asking of us, especially as we head into this week? He's asking for our heart, our hearts. Is there anything more extravagant? I mean, it's just not a good gift. It's the absolute best gift that we can give to him. And I think this week we have ample opportunities for prayer and to spend time with the Lord, and really to have that reflection of what are we holding back? Mm-hmm. You know, we're giving what's good, but are we really being extravagant in turning over our entire heart? You know, and what might we be holding back on? Ingratitude, unforgiveness, bad habits, noise, distraction. You know, what is that final extravagance that we can give to the Lord? Because we know of his extravagance on Good Friday and what he is pouring out for us. So, friends, a lot of parishes this evening will be having reconciliation services, diocesan-wide. So if you haven't yet had the opportunity or made the opportunity to go to reconciliation this evening, and then a number of churches, you know, throughout the rest of Holy Week will be offering these opportunities also. So just think of that extravagance. What can you pour out to the Lord? What's he asking you? What extravagant gift this week? So thank you all for being with us this morning. Coming up next, Will Keenly and Blair Andrews will be with us here in the cafe as we celebrate Holy Week. Stay with us.
O good Jesus, you are the Most High God, everlasting and always living. You have shown us the way to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. We implore thy most sacred heart to have mercy on us in this time of need. Bless and protect the vulnerable. Give hope to all and fill our hearts with confidence in your divine mercy. Be our joy in the midst of suffering and our stability in the midst of uncertainty. Your forgiveness we seek, your love we need, your protection we implore. Forgive our sins and heal our wounds. Strengthen any weakness of faith and make us strong so as to give witness to your glory. Keep far from us any illness, pestilence, or harm. You are our refuge. You are our comfort. You are our hope. Through the intercession of Our Lady, health of the sick, we come to your most sacred heart and beseech your protection and blessing. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of moderation is seen in Blessed John Henry Newman. He lived moderation heroically by maintaining a balance in his life amidst great demands for his talent. Newman was an Anglican priest whose gift for study led him to realize that the Catholic Church held the fullness of the faith. He converted and became a priest. He balanced prayer, friendships, and study with moderation, despite requests for his time. Let us ask John Henry Newman to pray for us, that we may grow in moderation. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I am Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati used his strong faith and physical vigor to bring Christ to others. He said, "God gives us health so that we may serve the sick." At the age of 17, Blessed Frassati ministered to the orphaned, to the sick, to the mining community, and to World War I veterans. He also enjoyed taking friends mountain climbing, and on the mountainside, he shared with them his love of the Holy Mass, reading scripture, and praying the rosary. Blessed Frassati's zeal to serve God in all environments can inspire us to be open about our faith in our recreational activities, in our workplace, and in our community. He said, "The faith given to me in baptism suggests to me surely, by yourself you will do nothing, but if you have God as the center of all your action, then you will reach the goal." Blessed Frassati, pray for us.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn, and we are thrilled to have Will Keenly and Blair Andrews now with us here in the St. Gabriel Cafe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Will, you are a grad student at The Ohio State University in...
That's a great question. So I'm in the College of Education, but my program is a kind of chimera. It's policy, philosophy, and history.
Oh, nice.
And I have a minor in bioethics, which was a last-minute decision, but a thrilling one. So it's been an ordeal going through this PhD, and we're coming to the end now soon.
Good. So a PhD.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. When will you wrap that up? God willing.
God willing, I'll defend my dissertation in a few months, so I'll graduate this summer.
Mm. Outstanding. And you're also an OCIA instructor.
That's right. Yeah, I wear a lot of hats. And I work for the bishops in a separate capacity, and I'm married, and I...
Wow.
Read. I know. My life's too full.
And in your free time, you come on the cafe.
Yeah, that's right. This is my unbooked hour. I help with the OCIA program at Buckeye Catholic. Yeah. We've been calling it Intro to Catholicism recently, this past year, partly to try to avoid the confusion about letters. It used to be RCIA.
Thank you.
Now it's OCIA. Yeah. When I went through it, it was RCIA. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you start throwing letters at them, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So Intro to Catholicism seems to capture it fairly well. I don't know what they call it out in the wild. I'm looking at Blair. I don't know what you all call it.
I mean, I think I always heard it commonly as RCIA until this year, and I was like, am I entering the right thing. Okay. I'm doing okay. Her, it was OCIA.
Oh, boy.
So I think commonly it's still RCIA, but I think they're trying to transition because it's closer to the translation.
We'll call it intro.
We're rebranding.
Yeah, exactly.
We're rebranding it.
When did you come into the church, Will?
2015, so almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
I was a college student at the University of Chicago,
uh-huh.
and I was not a very good RCIA, OCIA student. I didn't attend the classes faithfully. I instead met just about each week with a priest who has since passed away, Father Paul Mankowski, and he was very generous with me, and we had lunch almost every week for the better part of a year, and then a couple of years even after I joined the church, and that was sort of my formation. But after I did join the church when I was still at the University of Chicago, I helped with their RCIA program and did that for a few years and feel a strong connection to this ministry. And sometimes I'll talk about it like this is the on-ramp to the church. This is some of our most important infrastructure. Can we make this? Can this be good, please? So if it's going to be good, yeah. You've got to do it. So I'm grateful to have the opportunity to do it at the Newman Center here at OSU. But I'm just lucky. I'm just fortunate and very grateful.
And Blair, you are a junior education major.
Yes, yes. I am
Born and raised in Columbus.
Born and raised in Columbus, Worthington, Dublin. Education, family and consumer sciences, home ec. I'll be fortunate to work with middle schoolers or high schoolers, wherever the Lord leads me. I'm very, very passionate about working with young students.
Mm-hmm. Now, we want to hear about your journey into the church. So you had said really about a year and a half ago, you felt a little stirring.
Wow. I mean, how long do I have? I was very blessed to have been raised in a very faithful Christian household. I was raised in the Methodist church, baptized Methodist, confirmed Methodist.
Ditto.
And I think it was more middle and high school where I kind of claimed my own faith, my own relationship with the Lord. After my dad passed away in elementary school, I really just like have the hope of seeing my dad again in heaven. And I think that's when I really just looked more into, okay, what does a relationship with the Lord look like? I was very heavily involved in Young Life at my high school.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge part of my formation in high school. That's where I think my personal relationship with the Lord really began. Going into college, I really didn't know what I was doing, what I was looking for. I wanted to maybe be a Young Life leader. I was looking at different ministries. And none of them just felt like they fit quite right. I was really really thirsting for a more kind of like theological like dive into my faith and, you know, how close can I get to the Lord? Just having some conversations with friends, I felt the Lord start to draw me to the Catholic Church and just kind of, okay, what were the first Christians doing? Really, let's take it back to like, what church did the apostles follow? What were they doing? Because I want to be as close to Jesus as possible.
Were these friends Catholic that you were hanging out with?
Yes. Or? So it was my boyfriend. Actually, we had a conversation and I felt super convicted by that conversation. I was, it was after he had come back from a retreat and I was really scared. Honestly, I had some obviously kind of predetermined beliefs about the Catholic Church, that I was, you know, I was wary about some of the teachings. And I thought, well, you know, I've heard all these things as kind of like a non-denominational Christian. And I think I actually should probably go to the source. I'm going to talk to a priest. And instead of just all of these things that I'm hearing, I actually really just want to know from someone who has devoted their entire life, to defending the faith. So I started meeting with Father Adam. I was placed in a Bible study with Focus mm-hmm. at Ohio State. And I think really that was immediately what kind of grabbed me was just the intentionality of my Bible study leader and the deep like theological conversations we were having in Bible study that I had never really experienced before in kind of a formation setting. And I was just super grabbed by it. Like, wow, I never knew I could know this much about like the life of Jesus and the life of the apostles. And things just started to kind of make sense. There was a period of time from fall of 2022 to spring of 2023, where I was in a super, like, I really felt like the Lord took me into the desert, and I just kind of was so confused and not sure what I wanted to do. Is the Lord drawing me to the church? What does this mean for my life, for my relationships, for my family? And I was really scared. And it was a lot, many, many hours, in the chapel, just kind of pouring myself out to the Lord and like, where are you? Where are you taking me? Jesus, I just want to be close to you. After a period of a few months, I was finally kind of provided some clarity. I went on a retreat with Buckeye Catholic and was able to talk to some amazing spiritual fathers that really just gave me so much grace in taking my time and really slowing down this walk with the Lord. And ultimately, it's just the place where I found the most freedom and freedom in my walk with the Lord, freedom and just vulnerability, which has just been such a grace in my life. But yeah, it has been a journey, and it's been beautiful and blessed, and I'm super grateful.
Blair Andrews, Will Keenly with us. They're both from Buckeye Catholic at The Ohio State University. Blair's telling us about her journey thus far coming home to the church. What surprised you the most, or where were some of those doubts with the Catholic Church?
Yes. I think one of the big ones, obviously, was the doctrine around Mary. Mm-hmm. Was definitely a big kind of point of contention, like in my conversations with the Lord.
I see you glancing over our shoulder here. We have Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That was something I was super wary about in praying to the saints. And I wasn't really sure about that. Of course, I'm looking at everything through the lens of scripture, which is an amazing, and like, that is what we are called to do as Christians, as Catholics. And, that is where I really started to ask my questions was, okay, what is this, with Mary, the mother of Jesus? Why, how is this not idolatry? How is this, how can we really take this in a lens of like, Jesus is at the center? And I had it explained to me in a multitude of ways. But I think, the greatest answer I was given is like, actually, like no one loves Jesus more than Mary, and nobody loves Mary more than Jesus. And I think it was just beautiful. Like another analogy I was given was, okay, do you ask your people like on earth to pray for you, your friends? You always say, hey, please pray for me in this. And well, the saints are very much alive in heaven. Mary is very much alive. We're not, praying, asking for the intercession of someone who is dead, but they're very much alive, and in the full presence of the Lord. And these people are in full communion with Jesus, whereas I am not yet. And asking for their help is actually like the most powerful prayers that we could have, is from the saints and from Mary. And at the end of the day, they do not point us to themselves, but they point us straight to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I think that is what encouraged me most, was like, actually, no, like they are a window like to Jesus. They are not, when I am asking for intercession from the Blessed Mother, when I'm asking for intercession of the saints, my confirmation saint is Saint John Paul II. When I'm asking for their help, they're actually just pointing me straight to the Father, to Jesus. And I think that was one of the things that I was most wary about. I think also just apostolic succession and, everything with the Pope and bishops and priests, and why do we have these church fathers, and all those things. And that actually was really just all scriptural. That really convicted me of that, when Jesus sent out the apostles and, you know, said, those whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and those who sins you withhold are withheld. And knowing that he points to Peter and says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And okay, what is the rock that Peter started was the Catholic Church. And I think those were the things that I was most deeply convicted of, but also the things that I wrestled most with, and was given so much grace in prayer and conversations with leaders in my life, and spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. It's just been a really interesting journey.
Blair Andrews, Will Keenly from Buckeye Catholic here in the cafe with us. Have you been in our chapel yet?
Have
you seen our chapel?
I have not.
Hmm. We have a surprise for you after the show.
Yeah. Blair, I've been just really edified by all that you've learned and really your ability to recapitulate it to all of us. And it's been so beautiful to listen to you chat. You said you had a clarity moment and you connected that to this idea of freedom. And I'm just kind of wondering, what was that clarity moment for you?
Yeah, actually, now that there was really no one moment. I kind of have been wary, like in my whole walk with Jesus over my whole life, I feel very convicted when people share their testimonies and they're like, and then this one moment, because for me, it was never just one moment. Always was like, yeah, I was always putting that weight on myself of, okay, but I feel like I haven't had that one moment where like the Lord truly like shows his face to me. It has just been a bunch of littler moments. And I think like the Lord in that is inviting me to just trust him with everything.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that was very crucial in this process was spending time in adoration with Jesus in the Eucharist. My prayer life was just so transformed in adoration. It was so focused. I think when I am at home praying, I'm so easily distracted. And of course, the Lord is so there. But I think when I'm in the chapel and I can look at Jesus in the Eucharist, I feel very centered. I feel very just like grounded. And I also feel that I don't have to stay focused and say all the right things to him. I just feel like I can very much feel his presence, and that we are intimate just on another level. I just felt his presence so deeply. And I think like there's no even words to describe the peace that I feel in the chapel, in the presence of the tabernacle, in the presence of the Eucharist. And that was really, I think, the most convicting and most transformational part of this journey for me. And what gave me the most clarity was just the peace and assurance that I felt in the chapel and Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. Mm.
Will, you also shared your own journey of coming into the faith. Did you have kind of a aha moment, or was it also just a process that you were walking it through?
Yeah, you know, I've told the story probably 1,000 times, and I've told 1,000 ways, and I used to feel a little insecure about that. Like Blair said, it's really nice when you can have this, like, I was in the garden, and I opened a scroll, and then, you know, the infinity of God blew into my mind or something. But there was a lot of little things, and sometimes I tell the story, there was like Mormon missionaries are really important in the story, sometimes they're not. Sometimes I tell the story, I'll lean on some particular concept that was difficult, sometimes I don't. So I think, like Blair, I have been trying to instead thank God that this was a process. It was very gradual. It was grace and only grace. Maybe one of the shortcomings, if you have that kind of, this was the kind of Gordian knot, and once I cracked it open, then I was faithful. The temptation maybe of that story anyway is that, well, now I'm really involved. You know, now it really was like me overcoming some question. But when it's this kind of messy, gradual thing, then, as Blair said, it just must be the grace of God that I'm a Catholic, which is how I try to say it now. So I don't have a good story for you. No, I don't have a good moment either.
Well, I'm sure your own background and grappling with it has made you an excellent OCIA instructor. I'm assuming you've brought all of that into the work you do now.
I'm going to not look at Blair at all when I say this. I think I had some very good teachers myself. I'm going to give a lot of the credit to Father Paul, who has passed away, but this man was a great spiritual father to me and much more intelligent than anyone I've ever met before. And often I just try to think, well, what did Father Paul say about this? I'm just going to say that same thing. Someone will ask a question and I'll think, oh, I heard someone ask Father Paul that question. I'm going to say what he said in response. And that works pretty well. I stand on the shoulders of giants. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all?
Yeah.
Blair, who's your sponsor?
My sponsor is Kiara Baker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
We know her.
Yeah.
How closely do the two of you walk? And well, you can talk about this also. Is it a journey with your sponsor? Are they very involved?
Absolutely. She was my Bible study leader. Mm-hmm. So she is the one who kind of really just walked hand in hand with me. And she's also my discipler. And I will never forget, we were in Bible study and I said, "Hey, Kiara, like, are you free after this? Like, are you able to get coffee or something?" And I was really just like so anxious because I was like, I just have these convictions. I just really want to talk to her about it. And she has just such an amazing presence. Like, she just stares into your soul and just is so attentive to you. And so we went to a coffee shop on the corner and we were having this conversation and I just said, like, you know, Kiara, why are you Catholic? And it was so funny because at that point she didn't realize that I was not Catholic. We hadn't really had that conversation yet. And so she kind of explained to me like her walk with the Lord. And then it led to a conversation, which was so beautiful, of her saying like, "Blair, like, I just love you so much. And I'm so excited that you're in Bible study. And I want you to know that, like, I am not trying to convert you and I just want to love you and love the Lord well with you." And like, there was so much grace like received from that. And it was just a beautiful journey of like walking with her and her just like answering my questions in the best way she could. And just kind of walking through the sacraments and what do these look like and why are we given the sacraments? And even just like phone calls. Like, I remember I was at my house one time and I was just a mess and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to me. I feel like sometimes he's not speaking to me. And I just like called her and she was on her front porch and we just talked like it was probably 10, 11 PM. And we just talked for like an hour and she just sat and listened to all my concerns, just gave me so much space and so much grace to just air out all the questions and concerns I had, which were many. Just she's just a beautiful person and really just reflects, like I was saying, just isn't it like an amazing window just like to the heart of Jesus. And I've just been so blessed with like all of the leaders and spiritual leaders in my life. And just that they, when I speak to them, I truly believe that the words that they are saying are just inspired like from the heart of Jesus. And that is just what she has provided me, just a safe place to land. And is just an amazing sister and leader.
Blair Andrews, Will Keenly from Buckeye Catholic here in the cafe with us. Did you ask Kiara then to be your sponsor?
I did. We were kind of walking together for probably like five months-ish before I said in our little discipleship group one day, I said, "Okay, guys, like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to do RCIA and I'm going to enter the church." And it was just really like a like beautifully like small moment where it was just like, and I think I've been given the grace like so many times to just be like, the Lord is just like so humble and he's so humbling. And these moments have just been so small and intimate. These moments of revelation and conversation with friends and leaders have just been so little. And it's like, that's truly like how Jesus meets us, is just in the small places. Mm-hmm. And so we have this conversation. I said, like, I really would love for you to be my sponsor. And it was just great. It was just a great, sweet little moment. And so we're very blessed, very excited for the Easter Vigil on Saturday. I'm so grateful to have her as my sponsor.
Well, how many candidates and catechumens do we have coming in?
We have about 30. So okay. We're in the final countdown now where you have a certain cold feet dilemma. So I'm trying to keep that number a little loose because there's a couple.
Sure.
I'm hoping we can get over the finish line, so to speak. That's a gross way to put it. But I remain hopeful for a handful of them who are really teetering.
We don't need names, but we will pray for them.
Yes, yeah. Please do. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So about 30, which is a great proof of God's grace at Ohio State. And they're coming from all different kinds of places. We have our Blair type, who's been calculating this for a long time and has kind of been this nest of grace and faithful people. And then you have these types, and I think to some degree I identify with this kind of person who says, I've been staring at my computer and I've read every article on Catholic Answers and I've read all of the Summa and now I want to be Catholic. And this person is interesting as well, and in some ways more difficult to minister to than someone like Blair, who's been so plugged in. And you know, Blair's been going to Mass for a long time. It's actually kind of funny, in the background of a lot of the photos from the Easter Vigil last year, you can see Blair kind of like her head poking over these other people's heads. So Blair's been kind of baking in this in the church in a way for a long time. And then you have these people who know everything. They know absolutely everything about everything. And you start a class and you say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And afterward, they're like, what did you just do? What was that? And it's like, you've read the whole, you know, these people have read all this stuff and they haven't had the opportunity to, like I said, bake. I don't know. This is why the metaphor I'm going with. Mm-hmm. To marinate, make it even more culinary in the life of the church. And that's part of what I think the Intro to Catholicism program is to help them do. Because Blair has had this experience of being in a community, which I think this is what communicates God to us, are the people that make up the church. And we have to find a way to ingratiate slowly people into that community, even if they think they've kind of read their way in. They have, and now it's time to also become part of the family.
Well, Will, at the top of the show, you had mentioned that you hoped that the Buckeye Catholic program, I guess, would be a good OCIA program.
I hope.
And, well, Blair, I think from everything that you've said, it is a good program.
Yes. Yes, Will does an amazing job. I think he doesn't give himself enough credit. We had our retreat on Saturday, and it was so funny. One of my friends, Landon, who is also joining the church, he's like, Will, do you just have a photographic memory? Like, because you can just ask him any question, he'll give you this just very like great answer. It's like, okay. And we had I had a question last week. I forget what the question was.
At the retreat?
No, it was at the last OCIA. But basically in your answer, you're like, I hope that answers your question or at least speaks to it. I forget what it was that we were talking about.
Hopefully not indulgences.
No.
Yeah. We've
kind of been hung up on indulgences for a minute. That's always kind of a funny point to talk about at OCIA. But yeah, no, it's true. I was asking, well, are you doing OCIA next year? Because I do want to be involved more next year with it on like kind of the student board side of it. And he is just a great, very much backbone of it. And we are very thankful for you, Will.
Well, and what I'm understanding, Will, is you guys have done a very nice job of having both instruction and kind of lecture, but then also personal accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And when I went through RCIA back in the day, there was a lot of instruction, but not a lot of accompaniment. And just from Blair's testimony, I mean, that's so important. I mean, you're going to find it in the community. Mm-hmm. I pray everyone finds it in the community to have those good spiritual friendships. But at this point in your journey, it's so important.
Yeah, there's still too much. There's still a lot of lecture, which is that's kind of the nature of my own faults. But we have tried to build the program, and I often have failed to make every night look like this, but we have tried to build our Intro to Catholicism program so that the community that they start building over the year really becomes that family and a community which welcomes them into the practices of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
So the theoretical structure of any given night has been that we'll cover some aspect of Catholic theology, so something that Catholics believe, and this is generally a lecture, and then have some questions, talk about something that Catholics do for a time. We'll talk about Catholic practices. This is where we might talk about indulgences or discerning your vocation or kind of just like what to do when you go into a sanctuary. What do people do? What is genuflecting? Blah, blah, blah. And then to turn into small groups to read scripture together. So every week we tried to identify scriptures that kind of bring together those previous elements. So if we were talking about the theology of, well, most recently, the last session, the sacraments of marriage and holy orders, and then the practice was discerning your vocation. And then we had this passage of scripture of St. Paul talking about marriage and the life that we can be called to. So there's that opportunity to be in a group of people every week and speak to them each week about the faith that you're developing. And then we end every week with a prayer. So some new prayer that's widely known, widely utilized, but an important part of Catholic life. You know, this is a prayer you're gonna want to know. If you're gonna try to do this for another 60 years, you're gonna want to know the glory be. Seriously. So that's the theoretical structure, which hopefully we allow for that community to develop.
Hmm. Have you gotten too much into unwrapping what the Triduum liturgy looks like with the candidates and catechumens? Are you leaving room for surprises?
Yeah, just a bit. So like Blair said, we had a retreat this past Saturday, and we ended that retreat with an anticipatory mass of the Palm Sunday liturgy, which was really special because there we are just in this church together. It's just the catechumen candidates and their sponsors, and here we're having a mass sort of to ourselves. We never got to do that before. We'll never do it again, because the next time I see them at mass, there'll be 400 people there. And so we had this special liturgy that kicked off Holy Week, and just at the end of it, I offered them all an invitation. I hope that you'll all come to the Triduum liturgies this week leading up to your initiation into the faith, and just very, very briefly offered that as an invitation, that there is something really marvelous, miraculous, obviously, that happens in every mass, but something special to the liturgies of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I hope they'll all come. I can't obligate it. You know, I don't have the toolkit of a high school teacher. I used to be a high school teacher, but I can't in OCIA say, you know, hey, participation is mandatory. It's worth 20% of your grade. If you attend these liturgies, you get bonus points. So in the absence of those tools, you can just, all you can do is offer an invitation. But I imagine a lot of them will be there.
Well, you had mentioned actually Blair was photobombing last year's.
Blair will be there no matter what.
So you've seen it. Yeah. So yes. You've experienced the vigil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's beautiful. I'm so excited. I hope to attend the Chrism Mass tomorrow as well. I think some of my friends and I are going to be kind of parish hopping this week to a couple of different services. The Good Friday Mass at the cathedral we are going to go to. I'm really, really excited.
When the bishop will be doing the walking stations of the cross also Friday morning. So the details are at St. Joseph website. Are you planning on staying in Columbus then after graduation?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I've always said, I think a lot of my friends, especially at Ohio State or in high school, are kind of like, I'm just trying to get out of Columbus. I love Columbus. I think Columbus is the best. And I hope to get, God willing, I hope to get a job at a high school around middle school or high school around Columbus in the greater Columbus area.
But you still have 1 year left, right?
I still have 1 year left.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your role then going forward after you come into the church with Buckeye Catholic, how do you see yourself living and practicing the faith?
Absolutely. So I have felt great conviction in the past couple of months to kind of enter into a more intense kind of formation, hopefully leading my own Bible study next year. Although I think where the Lord calls me is into the more secular places. I coach field hockey at Worthington Kilbourne, and I just love loving on teenagers. And I think even in the places where, you know, politically you're not supposed to like speak the name of Jesus, I think that is just such like a sacred space to love people intentionally. And so I think the foundation of my faith is just so that I can bring love and truth into those spaces. And so while I have felt a great conviction to lead other women in the faith, in the Christian faith, in the Catholic faith, and lead them closer to the heart of Jesus, I also feel great conviction to love others well as Jesus would love them, whether that be in a public high school or on a sports team as a coach with other friends, because truly those are the places also that Jesus dwells. And I think that is where my deepest calling from the Lord is. I do very much intend on participating and helping in some way with OCIA next year, just because it has had such an amazing impact on me this year. And I just love sharing the faith. And so I'm super excited about what that's going to look like next year. But until then, it's just a lot of prayer. Lord, like, where do you want to lead me? Where do you want me to lead? Where do you want me to dwell? And so just a lot more prayer and discernment with that.
Mm. And Will, how about you? So God willing, you'll wrap up your PhD here in a few months. Will you stay involved with Buckeye Catholic?
At this point, I'm planning on stepping back a little bit from OCIA. I'm graduating from Ohio State, and eventually becomes a little awkward if you're like this older person who's not a student, you're not affiliated at all. It's like, why are you in our ministry? Get out of here. So I'm going to try to preempt that problem and give an opportunity for some others to take that ministry over. But my wife and I, we live in Clintonville, and we love where we live, and we love the parish that we live by. We live near Immaculate Conception. So I think I'm discerning how I want to continue to serve the church well. My day job, so to speak, is to work for the bishops. I work for the Catholic Conference, and I love the work that I do there. So I'm looking forward to being, I hope, a faithful servant of the church in other roles. But I've been just so blessed to do OCIA this year. It was all funny. I didn't say the story earlier. I should have. But I guess 2 years ago, I was feeling deeply convicted that I can be more involved in the Newman Center, and this is an opportunity for me to do that. So I just went to the 9 p.m. Mass. It was the first Mass of the school year. So OCIA hadn't begun, nothing had begun, but classes had just started, and there were all four Sunday Masses were going. And I go to that Mass, and I wait afterward to find Father Adam. And I said, "Hi, Father, I'm Will, and I want help with OCIA. And please let me help." And he said, "Okay." And then for sort of that year, myself and Pat McNulty sort of ran, you know, piloted the ship together. And then this past year, it's been sort of there's been only Will on board, which has been a little chaotic. But I've been very blessed and appreciate the grace Father Adam gave me to do this. But there'll be space for people like Blair next year. I hope to have a larger role. We've involved our seminarians a little bit this year. I think there's a great opportunity for them to be more involved next year too, and to be teaching and showing the faith, which is, I hope, a good part of their preparation and formation too. I haven't really like sprung that on anybody in particular. I'm kind of giving that idea live, but that's some of my vision for what they can do without me is put those guys in. So yeah, and it will remain in my prayers forever. And so will you, Blair.
Yeah, thank you.
Also want to acknowledge the great work that the Focus Missionaries and St. Mm-hmm. Paul's Outreach does on Absolutely. Campus, because so many of these stories start with an invitation, mm-hmm. and then spiritual friendships and relationships that are given time to grow. You know, that there's not a like a recruitment deadline that's placed on relationships, right? No. And so, Blair, have you spent time with St. Paul's Outreach as well?
Yes, I have. The St. Paul's Outreach and Focus Missionaries are just incredible. I've gone to a couple of women's nights. I've been so blessed to be invited to some household dinners. And it's really beautiful how the missions on campus come together, as we like to say, under the umbrella of Buckeye Catholic. Mm-hmm. But yes, I have. I am in a Focus Bible study. So that is where my core formation is. But at community events and everything, when everybody comes together just under one roof, it is really a beautiful thing. But yeah, we are so, so blessed and fortunate at Ohio State to have just so many hungry students who just want to know the Lord in a deeper way and are just so ready to say yes to him. And it's just been amazing to witness my peers and how truly hungry they are for the Lord.
I don't know if I can say this on air. You can totally tell where somebody's come from on my end. If they come to you and they're the sort of, "Oh, I got, I'm from SPO. You, uh-huh. I can tell that, "Oh, you've been doing SPO for like 6 months." Or maybe they're the sort of Focus type, or they're that guy or that girl who sort of read themselves into it, yeah, just on their phone. You can tell pretty quick. So I'd like to think I've developed something of a
radar. Yes,
I'm like a sommelier. I'm like, "Oh, you've been in SPO for 4 months, haven't you?" And how'd you know? I'm like, "I can tell."
Well, and that's one of the real blessings to our community is the work that's happened at St. Thomas More Newman Center as a space. Regardless of where you're coming from, you have kind of a destination there on campus, yes, to hang out and spend some time. So mm-hmm. To Father Adam and to the staff there also, an incredible amount of work that's happened there in a pretty short amount, yeah, of time. So mm-hmm. the chapel's beautiful, yeah, coffee shop open now?
Very soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but, go ahead.
Well, in all that, just thanking the missionaries for the work that they do, I'm just struck by, excuse me, the community aspect that we've been talking about, the company. And Blair, this has been a part of your own story, like you said, in your walk of faith, just being able to reach out to someone and ask them, can we go get coffee or call a friend late at night? Yeah. Like, I'm struggling with all these things. And it's just a reminder to me of, you know, really in our walk with our brothers and sisters, we all have to be ready to give our testimony. And I really love the question that you asked Kiara, your sponsor, is like, why are you Catholic? And just reflecting in my own life, am I ready to give that answer, right? And am I ready to give testimony to why I'm Catholic and to be able to walk with others? And I'm just so happy for you because in your sharing your own story, I can see you just doing amazing things as you continue to walk with others next year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Blair Andrews and Will Keenly. From Buckeye Catholic. Thanks, guys, for being with us today. Will, heading into the Triduum, how can all of us pray for the candidates and catechumens through this week?
Yeah, please do pray. I will just very briefly say that when I was almost a decade ago coming into the church, I had a kind of cold feet strike too. And I spoke with my sponsor about it and said, you know, maybe next year or something, but just like not now. And he said something to me that I have held very closely, and I've found myself saying it to a few students this past week. He said, "Well, you have to follow where Jesus is leading you, and you don't do that tomorrow." And I was very moved by that injunction, and I've held it closely. And that's what I would ask listeners to pray, is that the students at the Newman Center who have already begun to respond to this call, who are following Jesus, that they would take seriously, that's not a thing they do tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe there is more formation and maybe God is calling them to really sit and discern well and lean into him more before their initiation. But there can be a temptation right now to get a little spooked by the weight of the Triduum that's coming. And they know there's like 50,000 hours of liturgy coming up. Can I do that for the rest of my life? And you get a little spooked. So just pray that they're faithful and that I think there can be a kind of, I don't want to sound dramatic, but the evil one can be a tempter right now at a time like this when you're on the horizon of a great grace. So just pray that they'll be protected from this and follow Jesus well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Blair, there's a real reason, I'm sure you understand this, that they call it practicing the faith.
Yeah.
Right? It's rare that everything is revealed in one of those moments, you know, out in the garden where the scrolls open up.
Yeah.
You have a lifetime of discovering.
Absolutely.
And unwrapping the beauty of what the Lord's giving us through his church. So, Blair Andrews, Will Keenly, thank you so much for being with us here in the cafe this morning. Our prayers are with you.
Thank you so much.
And Kiara, well done.
Yes.
So, and yeah, well done to everyone at Buckeye Catholic. So coming up tomorrow, we have Dr. Marlon Della Torre and another doctor, Dr. Jeff Teal, will be with us for the entire hour. So thank you all. Let's keep Blair and all of our candidates and catechumens in prayer this week. And our prayer for you is to make time for the Lord this week, unwrap and discover your extravagance and an understanding of the extravagance that the Lord has shown all of us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Amen. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.